Hello and welcome to another episode of the Underhive Lawkeepers podcast, the number one Necromunda lore podcast, as headbutted into a wall by two out of three rather large abhuman individuals. As always, I am Spamiel, and to my right, the misanthropically misadventurous Manvint himself, Nathan. How are you, buddy?
Yep. Another good one. Can you explain that?
No, those were donated words. I told you, my M-word army is legion. Don't expect me to know these things. I really should have written down who gave me those ones. I think it was Dean.
Yep. Well done, Dean.
It was someone.
You bamboozled us.
Yes, hoodwinked. Bamboozled us. But...
Yes, I'm well, to answer your question. How are you?
I don't care.
Oh, that's hurtful.
No. We have a huge problem today, listeners. As you might have gotten from the end of our last episode, at the end, young Spamiel started getting just a little bit sick and has been basically just a living ball of just anger and disappointment for the last 2 weeks. And Nathan and I had a very special episode planned. An episode so cutting edge. So, honestly, it would have shaken Necromunda to its very core, torn the community apart. So instead of doing
that... Wasn't that the April Fool's one?
It was actually the Vansar episode. And once again, Nathan screwed me, said we couldn't do it. So we have actually reached out to a few friends, and they have joined us tonight. Today? Depends on what time zone you are, I guess. But they have joined us at this particular junction in time, and there are three of them. And they are, from what I'm being told, the CEO, the CFO, that F is backwards, and from, okay, this one doesn't really make a lot of sense, the head nasty bastard in charge. They are three individually dressed Ogryns in trench coats. And I believe the head nasty bastard in charge himself, apparently seems to be the most intelligent one, is going to be communicating with us this episode. So I guess I should probably welcome Simon. How are you, buddy?
Hey, how are we going?
How are you, mate?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah. Probably one of the most insulting openings we've had. I've already insulted Nathan three times. I've managed to insult three very large individuals.
Yeah, that takes some cojones to do, you know. Yeah.
It's the glory of the internet, my friend.
Three 12-foot-tall slabs of muscle and confusion. And you're going to want... upset them.
Sounds like my dating life in high school. But, mate, we are so excited to have you here. Obviously, we have talked in the past about how we want to talk to people we consider to be big parts of our community through all sorts of different formats. And we sort of were lucky enough to get you to come on here first and talk about something very important, especially to myself, being second best guides.
Yes.
Now, we will eventually get into it. We're gonna run through some very basic questions here first. So we obviously want to dive headfirst into that, but for the sake of our lovely audience, for the sake of Nathan, who is kind of sitting there with a confused look on his face because he thought we were doing an episode on, I don't know, probably more stupid abhumans. But
where are my real little rattling buddies?
Hell yeah.
The cutest little abhuman. We've gone the opposite direction. I wanted stunty little gnome-like creatures, and now we've got ogres and ogryns and all manner of large things. It's not good.
Hey,
I'm not impressed.
Best human is abhuman. Best human is abhuman.
So, Simon... Dude, nice easy question to start you out with. Who are you? Why are you here?
Well, I am Simon, or Three Ogryns in a Trench Coat. And I am the, I would say, brains behind Second Best Guides. I'm the rage-induced writer behind Second Best Guides. Yeah, well, I'm not the only one anymore, thankfully. The lovely Shorty has come and helped write one of the guides for me. He's recently put up the Enforcer guides, as well as taken the website off me and is starting to make it functional, because he understands what Shiny Box does. And I'll be honest, my limitation to understanding how websites works is I use them.
Yeah.
There are different parts of websites?
Yeah, yeah. Apparently so.
There's the clicky
I literally
bit
know PayPal, my bit. Internet banking, yeah. and Games Workshop.
Those three are more related than they should be.
Well, that, I mean, that's all you really need to know about the internet, though, isn't it? Especially being an Ogden. But, yeah, so with that, that's where you, like, I guess what you do now. What got you into the hobby first? What was your first thing where you just went, oh, this is me, I'm hooked, lock me into it?
Oh, well, so I started playing Games Workshop games thanks to my friend Andrew when we were, maybe 7 or 8.
Wow.
Yeah, really early. Yep. And we went off to the nearest Games Workshop and he picked up Dark Eldar, so I obviously picked up Eldar.
Righto.
And then, that's been a lovely episode. Thank you very much.
I was thinking that.
Well, hang on. Ugh. So,
I was thinking that. I'm like, he could have said anything.
I know.
There are so many other races. And he went, I just took the one that everybody despises.
Well, yeah, then.
So continue. Trying to justify yourself.
My cousin was like, oh, you like 40K? Here's a load of Imperial Guard models.
Good man.
And I was
hooked. Immediately redeemed.
Yeah. So I've been collecting Imperial Guard, and because one of those models that I got was Commissar Yarrick, I have been using Steel Legion as my basis for my Imperial Guard army ever since. And I'm currently waiting to justify buying a 3D printer so I can 3D print an entire Steel Legion army, a new Steel Legion army. From a Kickstarter that I backed.
So we have more questions, but I have my own series of questions right now. Just give me a second, Sam.
Okay.
So, it's guard talk. We're doing guard talk.
I'm good with this.
Screw it. New episode. Let's talk guard. So favorite pattern of Lascar?
Armageddon pattern.
The Cantrell.
It's literally a carbine. Sam. What's not to love?
Yep. Cantrell.
Yeah.
For me, straight away. Just because it's, I don't know, it looks the most militaristic.
Okay.
Riser. Oh, no, my God. I'm a fool. It's
it
a riser.
Riser.
Yeah, the Riser. Oh.
It is Riser.
Pattern of Lascan.
Yes.
Are we talking favorite? Oh, sorry. Do you guys mean your favorite pattern of Lascan after the Riser?
No. The Armageddon pattern Lascan, the small, like, the. Not the detachable stock, but the collapsible stock, the shorter end up barrel. Yep. It just looks like an SMG. What's not to love about that?
It doesn't have the same appeal as a riser.
This shows what went wrong with Ogryn Evolution. They got big, but they got dumb. okay, I'll move past this completely incorrect answer.
Before we move away, as I said, into a question, I do have one very important question for you.
Shoot away.
Your Commissar Yarrick, which version do you have?
So, I have the original Crabclaw Yarrick.
Yes!
I have the metal redo with the Orcclaw Yarrick. And I very nearly bought the resin version, but I realised it's exactly the same. But I was going to chop it up and put it on a horse to be my Lord Solar.
Oh, that would look bonkers.
Oh, man, nice. That is sick.
So, Pete the Wargamer gave me the inspiration for it. Because I think he did the conversion for it a while back. And I've been looking at it ever since. and I just haven't had the time to buy the model and convert it up. So it's just sat waiting now.
If you've got a spare of the crab claw, you do him with the crab claw version. Do you know what I mean? Just like a real throwback.
Only if I was doing a Slaaneshi version, because it is so Slaaneshi, is that crab claw.
I love it. That's the first one I ever got, and that's my favourite.
Those old school power fists and power claws, and that you look at them, you're like, that is straight up chitin. Like that is an organic material. You're a little heretic, aren't you? Yeah, no, sick. Sick.
All right.
But then from there, that's when I got into Ogryns. So I bought a box of three Ogryns when I got, like, I say fairly recently, about 6 years ago. And I've always liked the bigger models, but I bought a box of them and I was like, oh, I'm going to have some Ogryns in my army. And then I used them and I was just like, oh, okay. So I bought two more boxes. So I got nine Bullygrins, and I have used nine Bullygrins in every single game of 40k I've had since. And now I'm currently sat
a popular player then.
Yeah. I'm currently sat at a collection of, because of the Necromunda Ogryns that I've got as well and the conversions, I could technically field the full amount of Ogryns in a 40k army, which I believe is 32. Don't hold me to that, but yeah.
No, I wouldn't be able to question you on it anyway, because I wouldn't know. But
well, I've not played much of the newest edition, but that I'm pretty sure that was the limit at the time. I've got an amount of them now.
That's cool,
man.
That really is absolutely awesome.
Just a whole mess of Ogryns on table now.
Oh, it's so much fun! So much fun.
I think the most I've ever run with my guard was five, and that was just because I had the original metal ones, you know, not the original, like the second edition ones.
The big heads punch forward.
Big heads, massive ripper guns with the huge drums. And then when they brought out the plastic versions, I was like, oh no, then they brought out the third gen metal ones and they didn't quite have the same aesthetic.
No.
And so I just, I got one of them, put it in with my squad and I was like, he just really looks out of, like, these guys already look out of place in my army, and this guy, this one particular Ogryn, looks even more out of place. And that was sort of like where I went, okay.
Is this with your Valhallans?
Yeah.
Funnily enough, Valhallans was the other way I was considering going. So Valhallans, Talarn, and Steel Legion were my three options. Just
the all three very difficult to collect armies. Yes,
oh, yeah.
I understand. Oh, mate.
Unfortunately for the specific legions, the way to go now is 3D printing. You can't get them for love or money. And then I do have the original Metal Steel Legion. I've got two squads of them. And the quality on them now is, it's not as good as it used to be. The molds are just killed off.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, totally agree. I've got two Steel Legion squads for my Valhallan army, which I just happened to get off a friend of mine, and I actually run them as my Armored Fist squads.
Nice.
So they don't have the big great coats because they don't need to be that much winter protection. So they just wear something a little bit shorter. And exactly what you're talking about with the lasgun, they've got shorter lasguns to fit into the chimeras and so forth. So yeah, but they look amazing. That was the first time they actually had troopers like lying down, firing the weapons, like firing the heavy bolter and so forth, like lying prone. That when they did that, I was like, yes, that's exactly what we want to see in the miniatures. But yeah, anyway, let's move away from guard talk, hey, Sam?
But, all right, so you might have heard about this game Necromunda. Nathan and I occasionally talk about it. But of all of your knowledge on Necromunda lore, what is your favourite piece of Necromunda lore?
Oh, that's a difficult one. It might be Sparky.
Oh, okay.
So, the Dramatis Personae for Ogryns is a slave revolt Ogryn, and
Prisoners with Job Revolt.
Yeah, Prisoners with Job. Free Ogryns, sorry. Free Ogryns. Let's clear that up now. So Sparky from the novel isn't the original Sparky. So in the novel Spark of Revolution, one of the Ogryns gets left for dead and has a bone chip inserted into him when he gets recovered by this mad scientist in the Underhive and leads a revolution. But he leads a revolution and they reference Sparky, who is a Vansar Ogryn, who ends up causing a rebellion, and it takes loads of enforcers and gangs to go and hunt them down and kill them, and they're like, oh, is this what you're going to do? You're going to cause a revolution? He's like, yeah I am. And then it's so cool. And one of the old Ogryns goes and does a glorious last stand, and just streams of tears as I'm watching my fellow man, my fellow Ogryn, get the freedom they deserve.
What was it? Thrug 12 was Dayglow Dragons.
Yes.
He belonged to them. Yeah. Weirdly enough, have a bunch of abhumans.
Do they?
Yep. They it's referenced in a couple of different places that not just as prisoners with jobs, or brutes, but as full-fledged gang members.
Nice.
They have rattlings and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
As members of the Dayglow Dragons, and the rest of Vansar is just sort of really, buddy? Yeah. But
at least they can handle the radiation.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. That is an awesome bit of lore. I myself am not overly familiar with it, but. Yeah, just from what you've discussed there, the little bits that I can remember.
If you've got a free couple of hours, Sparks of Revolution is worth a read. It's not big. It doesn't take long to read.
Yeah, right.
And it's just lovely bit of background understanding on why the Ogryn are like they are. And
that's cool.
And how they function in society.
So you're talking about Ogryns as a collective, not just within Necromunda.
Specific in Necromunda, but it focuses on a Goliath smeltery that's being basically manned by loads of Ogryn.
It goes into their culture and their sort of
explains, hierarchies. It explains how it works. You've got loads of these massive, slabs of muscle, and they're just quite happy to do their job because that's what they know and that's what they do.
That's it. It's on the reading list for me this week.
And that thing
knock it out.
Anyone who's seen me online sees me ranting about is Ogryn loyalty. Ogryns are the most loyal of all everything in 40K.
Yeah, true.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. He's shamed me into this. Okay, listeners. Simon messaged me very angrily. In fact, I've got it written down on my phone. I've got the statement he required me to prepare, correcting me, because in the Beastman episode, I believe it was, I had stated that you could have, for example, missionaries of the Chaos Gods or whatever, could cause Ogryns. This is the wording that upset him. Sorry, Nathan.
Can I ask you a quick? Is this a correction that's happening?
No. This is a yes. Yes, I will. I will happily own this.
This is a required apology.
In honor of our three large, intimidating, and somewhat inebriated guests, I made the incredibly incorrect statement of saying that Ogryns could fall to chaos, where it is clearly known that Ogryns, being the righteous and loyal individuals that they are, cannot fall to the worship of false and heathen gods, but can only be lured as, given said loyalty, bravery, and love for their fellow man and abhuman, that is how said fall can occur. Not through deed, but through lies and deceit on behalf of those tempting the Ogryns. I have brought shame to the Ogryn people. I have brought shame to the podcast, to my family, to my ancestors, and to my descendants. I'm sorry. I will strive to be better.
No. Well played, Simon. I like this. That was
thankfully, the other two Ogryn that are with me only understood the word sorry. The rest of it went straight over their heads, but we'll accept it. Yeah.
I'm not taking back the fact that they can join Orc Warbands, because that is awesome.
Yeah, no. So my point was is that, like, the mutated Ogryn that comes with the kill team, with the Commissar that fell to chaos, the Ogryn fell to chaos because the Commissar fell to chaos, and you do what the Commissar tells you.
Yeah, because he's loyal to the Commissar. Because he's being told, be loyal to the Commissar. And it's like what you said before. The Ogryn are working in the smeltery because that's what they do. They work. Yeah.
Like, an open mind is like a fortress with its gate wide open, is the Commissariat's words. Well,
yes.
Ogryn's mind is like a fortress. You know, there's no open-mindedness there.
Right. Do you know, I something I love in 40K is when you see true acts of loyalty in the lore and the IP and so forth. And this is actually really inspiring me at the moment. Like, I'm only just drawing a few snippets from what we're talking about with the loyalty of Ogryns. I've always seen them in my guard army, and I've been like, oh, yeah, they're loyal. They'll defend the Commissar who herds him into the Chimera and so forth. But the way you talk about them, there's this nobility to that loyalty that comes with it. You know what I mean? It's a mark of honour. I actually love this because one of my favourite scenes from the Horus Heresy series is where Torgadon, I think I've mentioned this in another episode, where
you love Torgadon.
I love Torgadon. It's my favourite actor. Yeah. Don't worry about that bit. I just talk about, like, in the first three books. So where he flicks the coin of the, what do they call them? The
Warrior Lodge.
The Lodges, yeah. He flicks the Lodge coin back at them and it's just like, no, you're going after Loken? No, this is not for me. And he's got a room, so he's surrounded by all these other Marines. He's just like, you can stick your Lodge, you can stick your coin. And that kind of loyalty is just like, as soon as I read that, I go, Torgadon, that's it. My favourite character. I get the same vibe for the way that you describe that loyalty of the Ogryns as well. It's just like, Boss said, we're growing tentacles from the arm now. Let's grow a tentacle from the arm.
You know,
there's this almost like childlike sort of behaviour to them that they're attached to. Oh, mate, I'm feeling the inklings of a gang idea for just Ogryns already.
Oh, do it. You'll never be disappointed.
This is not... This is not the Ogryn Abhuman episode.
It's not, but I'm quickly feeling it.
Favourite piece of Ogryn lore is the fact you couldn't get... Remember in Guard, you couldn't get them into Chimeras unless you had a
Commissar with them.
Like, it's all right, boys, hop in, I'll be here. I'm just imagining him with a little lantern. And, you know, and all these Ogryns, these huge, just rippling, just monsters are just like... They're like shaking because they're in the dark and they're just looking at the Commissar who's got his lamp. He's like, it's all right. It's all right.
It's okay.
Like, oh, the Commissar says it's all right, so it's all right.
As a tall claustrophobic man myself, I feel that. Like, you struggle to get me in a Chimera and all.
the multiple times you've tried to jump into a Chimera. Yeah, no, I understand. Right. So let's roll into. I'm assuming
derail.
Yeah, I'm assuming I already know your answer to this next question. It's going to be something Ogryn related. But what is your favourite Necromunda miniature?
Right. So I've been thinking about this hard because as much as I like the Ogryn models from Necromunda, I heavily kitbash and convert all of mine. Like,
good bit.
They look great, but. I don't know. I don't think there's a bad model in the Necromunda range. Like,
yeah,
yes.
But if you've got one miniature, come at you, this is all you're painting for the next 2 years. just this miniature. Oh. I want you to embrace it and what drives you.
Yeah, no.
So I'll give you an example. Oh, okay. Yep, go ahead.
If I'm only ever going to be painting one thing forever, it is going to be the Ogryn models. Because
the size of them
is
righteous.
Yeah, you can get the detail on them. There's so many little cool bits on them. Like, yeah. Easy. If I'm only ever painting one thing for the rest of my life, it would probably be something Ogryn or ogre sized anyway, as I'm currently with my full ogre army and Ogryn army sat behind me on my miniature shelf. Yeah, I'd paint a lot of Ogryns, and I would happily do so again.
Yeah, no, that's cool. And then
you watch
it
the day after we release this episode, they're going to release a Thrug model. And it'd be, just a quick edit. Simon called me and just started screaming, change answer to Thrug. Change answer to Thrug.
I will agree, there is something about the scale of them as well, where you can play with a few more details. You can, have a blade on there that would be normally the size of half a guardsman.
Yeah.
And it's just like a little pocket knife on them. And it is, I don't know, you've just got a little bit more room and a little bit more sort of aesthetic to play with when you've got a model of that size, but still fitting it within that 28mm heroic scale as well.
So, and you can use the Orc Knobs kits, Stormcast stuff for shoulder pads and things like that. Yeah, just there's loads of... Oh, the ogre range, obviously. Yeah, there's loads of stuff that looks too small on them that actually sells the model more.
Exactly, yes. Remember the man-eater ogres?
Oh, like, love them.
But they you just had... bastard.
Oh.
Gang idea.
Yeah.
Oh, gang idea.
So
travelling the hives.
One of my three ogryn gangs... Like, I've got my fully converted Hannibal the Animal and the Generals of Carthage. My champions are named after generals from Carthage. I don't know why.
Oh, that's sick. Cool.
I just went on a tirade about it and ended up being a thing. They're all 3D printed and tweaked, like digi-kit bashed. That I've had my friend print off for me. And then I've got the proper Necromunda box that I got from Dan Beresford from Sub City Radio fame that he'd started to kit bash and I've continued to kit bash. And then I've got a series of random ogre models from things that I found for making... ogres for warbands in Mordheim or man-eaters for my ogre army, but they all fit the theme enough to be Necromunda models as well. So the Sump City Pirate Ogryn gang to be named is that's a thing. I've got a witch hunter with an augmetic fist and a giant hammer and stakes.
Oh, that's sick.
From Pete Loaf. From the Sump City Discord, and the pirate ogre in from Underworlds, Warhammer Underworlds, and loads of random models from all over the place that I'm just like, I can make a gang out of this.
In your honor, I'm starting a Makeda Sanguis Slaver Guild Outcast Army gang, and I'm gonna have the leader be Scipio Africanus.
Yes.
Just to come after your carthage ogryn.
The Underhive Railway, right?
Yeah. Coming after the Underhive Railway.
No, letting them go. Letting them be free. Yes, helping them escape.
Yes, can,
just checking.
Taking them, like, literally, Scipio, like, the reversal of what Scipio Africanus actually was.
Yeah, well.
But, like, just going in there and being like, no, you are free ogryn now. Head out to Freetown, hang out with the Beastmen, and they'll just be like, sick.
Yeah.
Sick.
And then, is that all right,
you,
boss?
You owned Ogryns? We own you now. Man, it sucks to be you, bro. but we digress. We digress. we've gotten through like three questions and it's been 9 hours. Okay, here's one. And this is something we've not asked anyone before. If you could take the existing lore within Necromunda and you could change one piece of that lore in any way you saw fit, what would it be?
Right. So I'm going to start with game mechanic. I would let Ogryns take any weapons from the trading post.
Hands down.
Easy peasy. Like, yep. Dixie from Gilders Ford tried it with giving an Ogryn a heavy stubber, and I think he never hit anything ever, and it was hilarious and wonderful, and that's exactly how Ogryn should be played.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Changing one thing lore-wise, just because I don't know if it does exist or not, I want there to be a lawful settlement for escaped slaves. Escaped interns.
Yeah.
There was one. There was a settlement, Bull Gorg and his escaped pit fighters. I was going to think of pit prisoners with jobs.
No, I remember this. This is like way back in the day.
This is N95. It was, I actually want to say it might have been called Freetown. And I think I've stolen another piece of Games Workshop IP.
the lawyers will be contacting you shortly.
So, let me ask you this. So, how do you see this town, how do you see this settlement interacting with not just Necromunda, but the Imperium? You know what I mean?
Like, the proxy. The hanger-on.
Yep.
Oh, so genius.
Yeah.
You've got, I don't know, a noble that's run down Hive, or, you know, someone who's ended up with a load of these abhumans, like ex-interns, you know, anyone who's trying to escape but is willing and able to work in a society, who are doing the jobs they would normally do but for themselves. And then you've got this like proxy class of people who are going, all right, well, we've got the goods, we'll deliver them. Because,
right,
I mean, what's better than, you know, having interns do everything for you who could then eventually revolt and kill you, having people do it for free who want to do it.
Yeah, righto. And you offer them a haven.
Yeah.
Right.
And eventually everyone turns a blind eye to it because they're just like, yeah, but it's profitable.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's all about Necromunda. They're maintaining their time. Yeah. They're doing their proper capitalist duties, you know.
And especially in an area that's like controlled by one of the Prometheum Guild or the Locata Lux, the energy guilds. Like, oh no, machines don't work. It's all right, we've got Ogryns. Oh, we need someone to go in this tight corridor to go and do it. That's all right, Ratlins can do it.
Yeah, right. I love this place.
Yeah, that makes a huge amount of financial sense because, you know, you're going to have these former interns, these former prisoners with jobs, and, you know, the proxy that you've, you know, put in this, and it was Dead End Pass, not Freetown, so I haven't stolen anything.
But yet.
The proxy would basically be saying to the guild is, hey, we need 1,000 units of starch, we need bullets, we need water barrels, whatever, cool, here's the creds. And so, in my mind, the guilders get to, like, the sort of border of where this new settlement exists, and they're met by this motley crew of Ogryns and Ratlings and former gangers, etc., and this fallen noble, and it's, yep, hey, we will take the goods now, or you can come with us to our settlement. No one is going to touch you. No one is going to affect you. Not only because you're a guilder, but you are under our protection. There are no bandits here.
Yeah.
Because they would enforce their own laws a little bit more brutally than
if you mess up and if you try and take anyone's freedom, we will rip you limb from limb and beat you with a soggy end.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
I love that.
Because that would be the only way they could maintain themselves as well, by having that kind of brutality, because it would not take much for one former, you know, Goliath or whatever going, there's a weakness here within this Freetown. and I can exploit that by building a whole bunch of gangers around me and, you know, taking over this facility and this manufactorum. So you would need to come down early and hard as nails on whoever's trying to start that up.
And I like the idea of the fallen noble leading it, because they're used to running things, but they also don't want to deal with the outside world because, I know, maybe someone's hunting them.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, yes. Yeah, I like this.
It would make sense also for everybody who's living there to have a noble in charge, because it would feel familiar. It would be like, oh yeah, that's where we've come from. So it's right that we have this hierarchy sitting there. And it's not like the hierarchy we've come from, where we're nothing. They actually want us to work and they want us to be safe. But it's still that, it's a sort of, you know, a hierarchy that they're used to, and that they can see where their position is within that.
And
yeah, that's cool.
Well, campaign idea. This is the basis for my next Necromunda campaign that I'm writing. what we're planning to do is everyone's having a patron, so a special character using the bounty hunter rules with 230 credits, including the 80 credits to buy it, or a hanger on worth the same amount, and then equipment. So you've got this model that can't be killed. It can only take stat decreases. And the gang around it are trying to help them achieve their goal. So everyone goes into the campaign with a goal. And I'm taking Ogryn and a fallen noble. And her plan is to go into this newly rediscovered dome and try and carve out a little place for herself.
Awesome.
And in the hope that, you know, if she takes over enough of it or makes enough deals with everybody, that she has a place that people will leave her alone, and there'll be a large group of Ogryn there going, "We'll look after you, boss."
So just three Goliath going, "How did we get here?
Are we free now?
Is that my dad?
You don't have to go home. You are home. This is your home now."
And then just the three of them are just ape strong together.
Yeah.
What did you call me?
Ogryn. Yeah.
Oh, that's love it. That's cool. All right, so I'll give us another question. That was a great answer, the previous one.
That was a great answer.
If you could introduce a new gang or faction to Necromunda, who would it be?
So before the thingy books came out, the Aranthian Succession books, I'd have said Lords of Aranthus.
Good man.
Oh, right.
And it would have been a mix of like normal human gangers, but with their super champion being an Ogryn. So you could have multiple house class Ogryns in there, because that's the story behind Lords of Aranthus, is that the Ogryns got told to protect the house until died.
Yes. Yeah.
And the idea is that the Ogryns are spread thin now, so it's mostly normal humans as gangers, but they're still there. And I think that would be so much fun to play.
So almost like a tyrant of a gang sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like you would have this... I'm instantly just getting, you know, Grease's skull tooth sort of vibes. Just this big, colossal thing. Not necessarily like this big fat thing being driven around on a chair, but like this huge beast of a thing.
Just an absolute slabbing of Ogryn.
Yeah.
Of an Ogryn. Yeah.
But just being as a champion, like, ready to fight.
And trying to like guide the best defence for the Aranthians.
But now we've had the Aranthian lore and they're doing their own thing for now until we know what's going on. I want to bring Ratskins back, but better.
Yeah, buddy.
Yes.
I've always liked the aesthetic of the Ratskins. I'm slowly building up like a small group of Ratskin models from various 3D artists and people who've picked them up here and there. And I've recently, I'm about to finish a campaign with the Nomads, and they do fulfil that sort of Ratskin-esque, but no, I want proper Ratskins. I want, you know, people who are actually part of the Hive that, I mean, maybe I just like an underdog. Like, throughout all of this, I'm hearing it now. Maybe I just like an underdog. But, yeah, the Ratskins are taken out, well, they're mostly taken out of the law now. And I can see why. I understand why. But rather than, like, pretending that it never happened, do it right.
Yeah. Yeah, there's an avenue there. Yeah. And I think myself and Sam, we explored so much of that in the Ratskin episode that we did, which was just... I really enjoyed that episode, but it made me think exactly what you're saying. Let's do this better. Clean off the edges.
I mean, don't just create a
history for them.
Yeah, don't just make them like Native American analogs. Getting the Native Australians, getting like all of the colonial like countries. Go and speak to people from those like Aboriginal like Native communities and go, how do we do this?
Yeah, how do we show you the honour and respect?
That,
I love it.
I would throw money at that.
Yeah, same. I reckon if you could get something, and you could even step away. They don't have to be rat skins. You can like associate them with something very specifically 40K, and you don't have to mirror what's happened in our world. You can just go, let's just create something and bolt on all these different things and create a culture of these natives within the hive.
Then make them the ultimate underdog, and the three of us will buy dozens of boxes.
Yeah, I will literally buy them out,
Yeah.
I hope my wife doesn't listen to this podcast because we're remortgaging the house. I'm going for it. Like, I'll sell one of the kids. It's fine.
Well, you say that. I sold Goblin Juve. They bought him back. I had to pay restitution.
I've always found it quite funny because I refer to my youngest on a regular basis as the Goblin, because she is a Goblin Juve.
Yeah. No, they're the worst.
And the best.
He's my son, and I love him, but... No. He loves Nathan. Loves Nathan.
As he
doesn't seem to be too fond of me. But, no. Okay. All right. So, those are sort of our discovery questions about you and your hobby and sort of some of your views on all this sort of stuff. And obviously, we talked about guards. You don't like the correct form of las gun. That's fine. You made up for it with some of your other answers. Now, the reason we've gotten you here is obviously... to harvest your organs. People will be coming into your... Oh, sorry, no. That's the next interview. So we're here to talk to you about second best guides. Now, give us, in your opinion, like a single sentence that defines second best guides for us. What is it in a single sentence?
All of the house gangs have everyone's opinion, and everyone's got, you need to play them this way, you should play them this way. There's thousands and thousands of people out there, and there's some really, really good like guides on how to play them. And for the non-house gangs, there's nothing at all, and that just bugged me. So... as a sentence, I'd go, how to play the more interesting gangs?
Yes. Yes.
So basically, your sentence is, I want to start a fight.
Yeah, 100%.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. Which is great, because that means you're going to be doing an article on Vansar. So, do you think... because he's talking about the interesting ones. Neither of you respond to that,
sorry,
please, and thank you.
Yeah, but the non-house gang equivalent of Vansar is squats. So, yes, I will be.
You take that back.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Squats can do melee.
No, and Sam, that's been our latest episode.
I like how
Sam, you've tried to convince me that Vansar can do melee.
Not just upset Spamiel with that. I've very much upset Mana Wah from Goonhammer, who next SumpCon will definitely be hunting me down with his Arachnarigs to prove to me that he can do melee.
Oh, yes.
Man of Wax. Kill him for the house, brother. But you've sort of answered the next question there of what was it that drove you to start the site? Like you said, there is all these different opinions. There's thousands of different options for your house gangs and your specialist, you know, your, what's the word everyone uses? Your meta builds and that sort of
thing.
And it's, would you say like it's purely because of the underrepresentation of, I agree with you here, the more interesting gangs.
Yeah, so when I got into to Necromunda again, like, I found out, I was originally looking at either Goliath or Escher, because, like, who doesn't want a gang of punk rock girls and who doesn't want a gang of, like, mental, crazy, steroided up, you know, football hooligans? But then I was looking through the books, the House of books, and what I was reading through the Goliath one. I was like, wait, there's Ogryn. Why would I not play Ogryn? Like, oh my God, yes.
Yep.
Like, ah, and I started playing them,
right.
And I just got my backside handed to me constantly, over and over and over again, and I just couldn't figure out what was going wrong. So I went online to try and find, you know, some idea of what to do. And I'm one of these people that when I first get into something, I just obsess completely, read everything I can find, talk to people, like, I just hyperfixate on it. And I was reading the Goonhammer article, and I'm like, well, I've used Goonhammer for 40k, I've used them for all sorts, and I read through their Ogryn guide, and I tried it, and I still couldn't make it work, and I was just convinced that they were a shit gang, and it upset me. So I went off and I played Orlocks, which were a great way of learning the game. Like, I still say new people should play Orlocks. They are, they can do pretty much anything you want them to do. They've got really good synergy within the gang, and they're fun and easy to play. So I finished the campaign with Orlocks, and I went back to the drawing board, and I was like, no, I've got to make these work. I've got to. So I just started, I sat down with pen and paper and a book, and I started writing out lists and combos and trying to work out how to make them fit. And I just ignored everyone else's opinions. Like, I could find.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I ended up writing it out and posting it on Reddit and on Facebook and on Discord and wherever I could, really, going, look, can people read this and tell me what they think? And, you know, I got a number of people going back going, that's not how Ogryns work and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, but I'm winning games now. Like, people tell me that, oh, they're great at the beginning, but then they lose their traction as time goes on. And I'm going, yeah, they can do, but I'm winning games now. Like, I fully admit one of their biggest weaknesses is the late game, because, you know, they're really expensive. But there are hangers-on that we can use to make things a bit cheaper. There's tactics. I'm not just going in with blaze fists, you know, setting everyone on fire because it's boring. You know, I've created multiple lists now that do work, and people are constantly messaging me and commenting on things going, oh, I was really struggling, but this has really helped me out. And that's why I do it.
Yeah. So you've basically found yourself, you've become your own, I guess, resource.
Yeah.
In the sense that you've gone, I've tried everything out there, I've tapped in everything, and I think it's exactly what you're saying. Because they're not one of the house gangs, there's not much as much exploration in terms of, like, other people having a go, or they're just using them as bolt-ons to their gangs and so forth. But as an individual, you needed to expand it more, and I guess all the non-house gangs are suffering from that as well. Yeah,
and
yeah,
then
right. So
from there, the usual thing happened is people asked me, well, what are you doing next then? I was like, don't know.
I'm guilty of this.
Yeah, yeah, you are driving force behind at least one of the guides that I've done. So, yeah, I've done the Ogryn one, and I know where, like, the Ogryn one's by no means finished. it's just functional. Like, it works for what it does, but I want to go out into the ash wastes and do it because I think they're going to function very differently out there. I experimented with all of the brutes that the Ogryngan could take, and I worked out that actually they're about the same price as a champion for the Ogryn, so you can swap out a champion for one of the brutes, and it completely changes the aesthetic of your gang. So
yeah, righto.
I'd never considered that.
Yeah. So mutated Ogryn with his gribbly arm, you know, and you chuck that in there, and all of a sudden you've got like a gang that's been down in the sump too long, has slowly started to mutate, and you know, radiation, and or you put in a sump beast, and all of a sudden you've got an Ogryn that's an Ogryn gang that's found this young sump beast and brought it up as one of their own, and boom,
that's cool.
You've got
love it,
or you've got the awakened Ogryn. You know, the awakened Ogryn has awakened and kind of gone, we're being taken for a ride here. I'm freeing my brothers and sisters, and we're going, and I'm going to use my powers to keep you safe. And
yeah,
it just changes the theme completely, and it's so fun. Like,
yeah, no, I love what you're saying already. Just like, you know, by just putting these shiftings in and out, and you said it perfectly, it changes the aesthetic of your gang on the way it looks on paper, the way the models are made, the little bits and bobs that you're putting on individual characters to go, they belong from here, and they belong from here because I pulled this champion out and put this brute in, or I put in some sort of beast or something along those lines.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
And then I was looking at that, and I'm going, you know, but even the starting list that I wrote, that I still use as the basis for every Ogryn list. So I start with my bang on, this is my starting list, and then I take things out and I change it.
Mm.
But I know that base works.
I've also got this horrible image in my head of this Ogryn sitting on a couch, like it's a huge couch, and there's just this sump beast sitting on the couch next to him, and these newly freed, like former interns, are led into the base. Cause this is all in, Freetown?
Yeah.
These guys are walking in, they're looking at this sump beast, and everyone's just like, what? And I was just like, oh, that's just Bitey, he's okay. And it's this beast, it's got like 9 mouths, it's got these weird gribbly eyes, and I'm just imagining the Ogryn just handing it little bits of dried meat. And it's like licking his fingers and stuff.
Yeah, the occasional chin scratch, just like, what's a good puppy?
Yeah. And, you know, one of them walks past and, you know, the what do they call it? Bitey?
Yeah.
Bitey sort of starts growling, and the Ogryn strap just like, slaps it like, bad puppy. And it's just, oh, okay. Oh, you know, starts nuzzling up again. There's a bit of meat. Yeah. Damn it. You've given me so many gang ideas. I cannot afford this.
Well, I'm currently looking for a kid scorpion toy. That I'm going to lop the head off, and I've got the Gorgia models from AOS.
Yes.
I'm going to put a Gorgia body on top of the scorpion, and then so it's got the multiple legs, the lashing tail, and I'm probably going to give it claws as well to fit the theme, so that I can create the sump beast I want to use.
That's cool.
And I'm going to Ogrenify it to make it fit in the gang a bit more.
I love that word, by the way. Ogrenify.
Ogrenify, yeah.
Ogrenify.
Yes, it's like kit bashing, but more aggressive.
Straight from the Malkadorian dictionary, that one. That's awesome. So our next question we had was why the non-house gangs, but I think you've covered that pretty nicely. Like, if there's something more you want to add, by all means, but why the non-house gangs? Refer to the last 2 minutes, folks.
Yeah, so as I started with the Ogryns, and I've always liked the look of the Nomads, and again, I keep getting people telling me that they don't work, and I'm looking through and I'm going, but they could. So I started with Nomads in the Hive, so got rid of the bugs, like, that's the other half of the range, basically. and I just went in with, right, let's do this. And I'm about to finish a Dominion campaign using Nomads, and I am currently 600 gang rating ahead of the nearest person.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's bonkers.
So because the Nomads front load their credits when they win a territory, they get like 4d6 times 10 credits and no other benefits. I've just used that to steamroller. Like, it was a slow start, but winning game after game, getting money after money. And yeah, I'm not even experimenting massively with trading post equipment. I've got the warp bolter and the whisper touch blade, and that's it. Everything else is house equipment, and it's just I've figured out how to use them. It's not a stand and shoot gang like a lot of others. It's play with your maneuverability, like make sure that you're in the right place, cross cover. I have three squads of guys basically that I use as a, like, three groups. And it works.
Yeah, right. So let me just, I can sort of rephrase that a little bit, our question of why non-house gangs. What I'm getting from you is that it's actually a little bit more fun to experiment with the non-house gangs. It's,
yeah.
It allows you to not simply look at all the, as Sam said, the metas that are out there, and you sort of find yourself going, okay, well, I kind of need to fit to that meta if I want to win these particular games, or, you know, I've got to go to this because that's the best build, and it's been experimented and tested time after time by so many gamers. It feels like what you're doing is almost like virgin territory, like get in there and have a bit of a play about it. It feels like that's why you're doing this as well.
Yeah, so yeah, the house gangs are solved. Like,
yeah, yeah,
you know, everyone knows with Escher you want to go like Lasguns and Chems and a Death Maiden with Toxin and whatever. I don't know. I don't play them.
Yeah.
But you know, like, everyone's got their.
Everyone knows how to play Escher. Don't ask me though.
Yeah. And then, you know, they go off and they do that, and everyone makes variations, and it's cool as hell. Like Vansar, you just go plasma and shooty, and then a melee build comes out, and it's cool as hell. Goliath can be a shooting gang. Who knew? My friend Andrew, it turns out, shot me off the board. But with the non-house gangs, like, I've realised they just needed a base. Just like every other gang, they need a base. Go, this is how you start playing this gang. Get used to them. Then you can do mad stuff with them afterwards.
But that's something there. I think a lot of people... I can personally say, my first gang coming into Modern Necromunda when the rules were out, I've started with Orlocks and then Vansar once they were released in that. But once all the gangs were out, when Book of Ruin came in, because remember, do you remember the PDF rules for the Gene Stealer Cult?
Yeah, I've been reading them a lot recently.
Yeah. So back then, that's what I was using. And Gene Stealer Cult was basically just, you buy a box of neophytes and that's your whole gang, just go with that.
Yeah.
But there was no real guide. People weren't doing it because I think it's because they weren't a house gang. It's not that people were afraid to play with them. It's just that unless you were someone who knew your rules back to front, who knew your min-maxing, your stacking and that sort of stuff, people were just a little bit unsure, maybe.
Yeah.
And I think that is probably the reason why, because Nathan and I play Arcramunda here in Melbourne. We try to play each other as much as we can. But I genuinely don't know a lot of people who don't play house gangs of some kind. Like, you'll get chaos-influenced house gangs or Genestealer cult house gangs or outlaws or law-abiding, whatever. But you very rarely get... Oh, don't get me wrong, you get a lot of squats. Because squats, tactics, guns, and guns, and then your opponent dies.
And more rapid fire dice than anybody can possibly roll.
More rapid fire dice than you get in the boxes, which annoys me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to play an Iron Man squat game, you need more rapid fire dice than Games Workshop have ever actually produced. I think a lot of people are almost scared to go into the non-house gangs, like, you know, the gangs you're specifically
talking about. The Gene Stealer Cult guide that at time of recording has been out for a couple of weeks now. I did that because you asked me to.
Yep.
And because you said you had a friend who was trying, and I was just like, yeah, I can do that. And it helped that in my campaign that I'm currently running, there's three of us running non-house gangs out of six.
Nice.
So we've got myself running Nomads, my friend Stuart playing Gene Stealer Cults because he loves them, and my friend Ruby, she's playing Squats because she loves them. So I was just like, right, Stuart, what's not worked? And the first thing he said is, they kill him off. My leader with three pistols done nothing.
Yeah.
And everyone keeps telling me how amazing it is, and it's done nothing. I can't get him close enough because everyone goes, three guns, shoot that guy. Like,
yeah, right. Yeah.
So I was like, right, okay. And I went away and I started looking it through. I'm like, third arms of 45 credit suspensors. Why are we giving them pistols?
Yeah, true, true. Yeah, right.
So
heavy flamers.
No, not even that. Although, yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. So I love the two conditions that everybody hates, I think, are hilarious. So I love being set on fire and being made to go insane.
Yes, yes.
So
I love insanity.
I love insanity. So again, playing Ogryn's against my friend Andrew, he had an outcast gang with a psyker in it. With, I think it was Maddening Whispers, the one that makes you go insane, and a load of flamers, because he knew I was bringing Ogryn's. Like, and he was like, I'm going to make you suffer. I'm like, bring it. I think I won that game by dint of me killing everybody, but every single Ogryn I had with either on fire, insane, or both.
Yeah, right.
And it was hilarious. We had such a good laugh about it. But I completely understand when people are like, oh, I don't like Blaze. Oh, I don't like Insanity.
Yeah.
Completely get it.
Yeah.
But
yep.
The difference is like, it takes away from player agency, which, again, completely get it. But I'm not playing 40K. I'm not playing a competitive game. I'm playing a silly game with my silly friends. And yes, we're competitive, but we're there to have fun and dick around.
Yes.
Yeah, and if you get a good story out of the game,
then you've
out of
won.
The game, that mate, exactly. You go, this moment, I remember my first real game of 40K Necromunda with Steve, and one of his guys got set on fire, and he couldn't quite grasp the fact of, like, this is so unfair, and then so he ran over somebody else to go help him, and he got set on fire as well. From a different flamer. And so it was just this mess of Orlocks in the middle, just all set on fire. Yep. And it was just, it was a really, it was a fun narrative of what was happening. It was like, you know, just a bit sort of Benny Hill. Like, people were just, like, running around on fire, bouncing into walls because he was stuck in all these corridors. And it was just, I remember that more vividly than I remember us trying to learn particular aspects of the rules.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was something I was just like, oh, that's burnt in. That story has locked itself in my head.
Do I think that really Blaze should be 1d6 instead of 2d6 or 2d3? Absolutely. Do I care? Probably not.
Yeah, totally,
Can we make it funnier?
Yeah. So, yeah, can it be funnier? Can it be better? Yeah. But again, don't get me wrong, some of the games we've had are super, super competitive. Like, I was playing a game against Ruby in her squats, and she absolutely decimated me, and I had a bit of a rage quit moment. I was just like, nope, dummy out the pram. Nope, I need to have a break. I need to calm myself down. And then the next game that we had, I did the same thing to her, and I was just like, we need to stop now, because I don't, we know who's won. You don't look happy. Let's stop. Have something to eat. Have a chat. But then I had a game against Goliath in the same thing. So it was like the Nomad territory, and I'd set up the board, and I'd set it up exactly the same for both the squat player and the Goliath player. So the Goliath player knew what was coming, and I was about to get steamrolled. Like, it was just on the verge. It's like, if I take any more losses, I'm out. I'm done. And my leader managed to make a charge, killed three out of six of his guys, And then my chem thrower stood up in front of his big boss and his other multi-wound champion, and he just went, "No, I'm done. Because if that thing shoots me, I'm going to lose everyone and they could all die. We're in the end phase of this one. You know what? You win. Done. Fine." And I have never been so on edge of my seat playing a game as I was in that game. Like, my brain was going 1,000 miles an hour trying to figure out how the hell I was going to claw it back. And I just got that one or two lucky rolls that made me go, I've got it.
I love that moment in a game, whether it be Necromunda or whatever system you're playing, and you just go, that was it. That's the moment where I sort of refer to it internally as my stress breaking, where like I've gotten to like maybe two or three turns of just heightened stress about how am I going to play this, how am I going to navigate this, and then something happens and my stress breaks and I'm a lot freer, a lot more relaxed, and then I can start making decisions about like, oh, I can actually go off and do this, and I can do this because I've sort of broken the back of whatever my opponent's strategy is.
I'm no longer fighting uphill. Like, we've reached the peak.
That's it.
It's all downhill from here.
I got over that peak. I didn't get pushed back. And it's amazing. Every person who's played any type of tabletop wargaming has had that moment where they're just like, I'm on easy street here now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not really necessarily mopping up, but I've taken the initiative away from my opponent and I can control this. But I really value what you're talking about there, and especially in Necromunda, about giving your opponent the opportunity to just have that sort of honourable retreat.
At the same time, when you look at your opponent across the way and they get happy, like, you know what I mean? When they've realised they've got this and you look at them and go, shit.
Yes.
except your friend Ruby, because she plays squats. And anytime she starts smiling, you need to be very angry.
Find the nearest.
It's about to be a bad.
Yeah, find the nearest cover because there's about to be a hailstorm of bullets coming in.
Yeah. Damn, so stunties.
I'll bring us back to our questions. So, from what you're saying here is, like, when you're coming up with these guides and taking like this pathway to create something for the community, I guess you're sort of finding the weaknesses and you within that list, and I guess you're doing that from people who are already playing and saying, hey, come to me, tell me what's not happening. And is that your process to create the guides? Is that the pathway you take to go and create something that's usable and functional for people?
Yeah, so I'm quite lucky that, so Andrew, the guy who got me into Necromunda, who's been my friend for a very long time, him and I have always had the understanding of, you don't put kid gloves on when playing games. Like,
yeah, cool.
Against the two of us, if he knows I'm playing Ogryn, he will build a list to, if we're doing skirmishes, to directly counter me.
Yeah.
And vice versa. And I love that. I always tell him what my list's going to be before I turn up. Because I know if I can beat that list, I'm onto something.
Righto, I get you.
Yeah.
You're taking on
so it literally
on very
forces
tough
you
challenge.
To do better.
Yeah. Like, and I don't think I could do it with just anyone. I think it helps that our relationship is what it is. We've been friends for nearly 30 years and I'm only 33. You know, it being able to kind of go, right, there's no wrong answer here. I'm going to turn up and I'm going to be slugging against some of the nastiest stuff like you could be fighting against, but if I even come close to winning, I know I'm onto something. That's great.
Yeah.
And then,
that's cool.
Like, some of my other friends that we play in the campaign with, I've got them into playing Necromunda. Like, we played Kill Team before that, we've played 40K, we've played loads of Mordheim, and we're playing Mordheim again soon. Like, we split between the games. But they've kind of come to me and gone, right, well, what do I need to do to build this list? And I've gone, I don't know. Like, I don't know anything about Gene Steelcore. I don't know anything about squats. So I've gone away and read up on it. And then we've played a load of test games and we've worked out what works, what doesn't. And then we've tried it and we've gone into this campaign and we've learned loads like, all three of us have learned loads about how these gangs work, so I've just started writing it down. And I was like, right, well...
Righto, yeah.
And then, so my Gene Stealer cult list, I was trying to get help from the wider community, and like you said, there's not that many people who play Gene Stealer cults in Necromunda. So I wasn't getting much back. But the one thing I kept getting was, oh, Kellermorph's amazing, give them plasma pistols. I'm like, yeah, but how does that work in a 1,000-point list?
Mm.
And what are you going to do with it if you can't get them close enough to shoot?
Yeah,
true. That's not beginner-friendly. And I know none of the guides are going to be brand-new Necromunda player, but I want someone who has started learning the rules and is going, oh, but I really want to play this gang, but I don't know where to start. I want them to be able to look at the guides and go, oh, cool, that's my starting point.
But we can actually give you a real-life example of this because a mate of ours is starting to play Nomads. And when we were talking about it to him, I specifically said, no, I'm starting a Nomad gang myself. And this is where I got the information from. This is a guy who's never played Necromunda.
Right.
And I've said, go to this website. This is a mate of ours. And his whole website is just about these other gangs. And he's looking at it, he's just like, yeah, man, it makes things so much clearer.
Oh, good.
So, like, your website is literally also working for someone who, and this is his own fault. He's going to be asking me and Nathan rules. So,
oh, don't ask me about rules. Mechanics, yeah, rules, no.
But that's the thing. Like, his Nomads, I've sort of said specifically, second best guide to the Nomads guide there. That's what I'm using for my Nomad gang. And it makes things so much clearer for me. So, yeah, like, sort of disagreeing with what you're saying, what you're doing is also great for people who are literally coming into the game fresh. Don't get me wrong, our mate plays 40K and played Mordheim back in the day, absolutely. But Necromunda is a whole different kettle of fish.
Yeah, it is. But basically, I'm trying to write what I struggled to find when I started. Like, if I wanted to play any of the house gangs, Vansar, Escher, Goliath, Dalak, there were so many people like, oh, you could try this list. This list looks really well. This list. And I was like, oh, cool. I want to play Ogryns. What do you do? Give them carapace armor. Well, I tried that, and they couldn't get close enough to the guys to shoot them. Yeah, one of the guys was unkillable, but I had four guys against eight, and I was being out-activated every single game. Focus fired into oblivion. I was like, okay, I'll try grenades then. So I got incendiary grenades on everybody, which was another thing that was recommended to me. And it was great, and I actually got to shoot stuff. But then I ran out of grenades straight away because that was the only thing I was specking for. And I didn't know what else to do. So with the Ogryn one especially, that's the one that's close to my heart because that's the one that I cut my teeth on. Like, and I will constantly update that. If they bring out new rules, I'm going to update stuff. The Gene Stealer cult one, the most original one, the most recent one, sorry. I've openly said it's a shorter version than I wanted to do. Like, there's a couple of reasons for that. Looking at the way that the narrative is going, I reckon that Gene Stealer cults are going to be getting an overhaul soon anyway.
Ooh, buddy.
Oh, yeah, I hope so.
I think so. I'm with you on buddy. That.
But there's so many... So many things that you could do with a Gene Stealer cult gang. There's so many directions you can go that unless you're deep diving it like the way I am, you don't necessarily see. Like, so
yeah,
I wanted to do a massive section on the weird powers in the Universal Weird Powers list. And I just ran out of time. I was already 2 weeks overdue for posting it from what I originally planned. And I just went, I'm not going to go through 20 something different psychic powers. It's going to take forever. And I was looking at the hardest thing for the guide that ended up being published was the weird list. So the Might of the Hive, because I knew what I wanted to create and I knew it could be done, but I couldn't do that without talking about the universal powers. And that, I went with, right, control deck. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be about using that character to debuff the enemy and buff your own guys. So it Overseer and Jinx, Weapon Jinx. Like,
yeah, I just got a question that have just come to me now. Like, it's not necessarily from our list, but do you find when you're writing these guides that it is quite broad, that you sort of almost need to specialize in one or two areas to help focus the guide? Or
so is yes, I whenever I start with any of them, I'm going in blind pretty much. So I get the PDF or the book or whatever I've got in front of me, and I go, right, first thing we do with every Necromunda gang is get eight guys together.
Yeah.
Right? It's the best piece
unless
of...
Unless you've
answered. Unless you've answered. It's the best piece of advice I've ever been given on how to make Necromunda gangs. Start with eight guys. From there, you can go in any direction. Start with eight guys. And then I try and look in through the book, and like I usually go for a heavy weapon champion, a melee champion, a leader that does something specific, and then gangers and jubes to fill in spots as and when, and then I play them and I go, right, well that worked or that didn't work, right?
Yeah.
And then I'll go back and I'll read through the books again and go, and I'll look for combinations, I'll go for synergies that work, then go, right, I'll try that idea. So for the Nomads one, that I initially completely like wrote it off, in fact quite scathingly made a comment about the Venomcaster being a pointless waste of time, and
yes you did,
yeah, I hold my hand up, yes I did, and it's become my favourite piece in my Nomad gang. It terrifies people. And I all I had to do was I combined it with run and gun or hip shooting skill.
Yeah.
And I went from a web gun that's not as good as a web gun to, oh my God, this thing's getting work done. Yes, it's more expensive than a web gun, but I'm not just putting them to sleep, I'm killing them. Like,
yeah, so right. Wow.
So that's it. You've sort of hinted towards us a few times now. You're genuinely putting out these guides, and then as time's going by, as you know, you're getting more experience with venom casters and different types of grenades and that sort of thing. There, you're continuing to update these, because, and you know, like you said with the Ogryns in regards to moving out into the wastes, and obviously the GNCO occult with what we all think is coming for the next expansion into Secundus and that sort of thing there. Like, I think it's great the fact that you're continuing these things as living documents, as opposed to just, this is my guide, oh, it's a couple of editions old now, deal with it.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think the way that my brain works with the ADHD and everything else is that I will hyperfixate on something and then I'll lose interest for a bit and I'll go and do something else. So the idea was, is that I wanted to get something out that was helpful, but given evidence that contradicts something I said, I'm not going to be like, yeah, but I've said it now, eh? I'm going to be like, hand up in the air, Venomcaster's awesome, I was wrong. Okay, so I'll go back and I'll write in there, and I've put in the Nomads thing. It says at one point I said that I'll try and get the direct quote up. But you know,
I'll actually tell you, I have it up here. You're so, a piece of shit. I used to think this weapon was useless. I was very wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I've had to apologise so far this episode. You're apologising. We're all going to apologise for Nathan.
That's most episodes. I've done nothing wrong.
Yeah, you've done nothing right though, Nate, you know.
That's it. No more guests. This is too
hurtful for me. More guests.
So I'll put my hand up and say, yeah, I was wrong. But I think as well, the big thing is everything gets playtested. Like, I'm not just making statements and going, oh, I think this. I'm going, I think this, and I've tried it, and I was wrong. But this worked.
Yeah. Yeah, righto. So with your playtesting, do you do you sort of, I don't know, I guess, do you play test to a certain point, or do you play test to like the full length of a campaign or a game? Or do you just sort of play test to a phase and then go, oh, actually, that's not working at all. Let's restart this game and go again.
My focus has always been how to create a 1,000 point list.
Yep.
Because that's the basis that everybody does.
Yep.
Okay, you can't start a campaign, you can't do a skirmish without a base list. So that's always been my initial focus. The thing that I do differently to, like, say, Goonhammer, is that I then go, so how do we move this on from in the future? How do we do campaign progression? Like, where do we go from here?
Hmm.
You know, sing a lovely Buffy song whilst we're there. and that then becomes... That comes from playing them in campaigns or playing them in like mini campaigns that I do a lot. So I play a lot of skirmishes with my friend Andrew and with various other people that we know, mostly Andrew because he forces me to be nasty. but yeah, we do a lot of if we've got an evening where I'm free and he's not working, I'll send him a message going, you fancy Game of Necromunda? And the response is always, hell yes. And, you know, I'll walk around or drive around with a box of minis and we'll play a game for a couple of hours. And then I'll get my face stomped in and I'll be like, right, why did I get my face stomped in? I mean, yes, I can't roll higher than a 3 a lot of the time, which doesn't help.
Been there.
Yeah. But, like, What failed? You know, it's the same thing with engineering. You know, you test to failure.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Yeah, I like that, test to failure.
So I'll keep going and go, right, no, this isn't working. Why is it not working? Right, well, I've got, for the Nomads, I've got the Charge Caster. Charge Caster's great. Does really good damage in a certain area. Everybody knows that. No one stood in one spot anymore. Well, I can't move because then he can't shoot. So, actually, if I was to redo my Nomad list, I would probably put the Venom Cast in over the Charge Caster. Because,
right, yeah.
Which I'm genuinely considering putting that in there as a option to do, either this or the other. And I've balanced it so it's the same credit cost.
All right. Yeah, cool. That's awesome.
Because the Venom Caster plays better into my style with the Nomads, which is quick, in and out, guerrilla-style tactics. I like to use, because of the speed of them, because of the maneuverability, I like to get them in, do some damage, back them off, have the next, like, the next squad go in, do something somewhere else, so that my opponent is trying to figure out where the attack's coming from.
Yeah, right. I see what you're saying here. So
the Charge Caster never moves.
You're testing. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So your testing process is just, it's an evolving and developing thing, I guess, which is following on from what Sam was asking about the future of Second Best Guard. You're always sort of trying to find that next hill to climb, I guess, where you're going, okay, well, we've done this. What's the next thing that we're going to be doing? What's the next thing we can experiment out with? And then I guess when more rules come or when more mechanics enter the game, you can start to go, okay, well, how do we explore that with, you know, a list that we've already gone through, like the Nomads or the Ogryns or whatever.
Yeah.
And we go, yeah, start building blocks onto it. So, that's really cool.
So the Gene Stealer Cult list that I did, the one that I actually prefer out of the two of them is the shooting list. Because it's just terrifying amounts of firepower. Like, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
But unlike the squats or even the Vansar, if you try and charge a Gene Stealer cultist, they can fight you back.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
They're not as fast as the squats.
Definitely give you a bloody nose.
Oh, sorry. They're as fast as the squats, aren't quite as strong in both melee and shooting, but they've got more options. So they don't have the wounds, but they've got the psychic familiars, which makes them hard to hit. And
yeah,
it's that all of a sudden I've gone from why does my champion only have one wound and dies at a stiff breeze to, why is my champion stood in the open shooting and no one can touch him? Oh yeah, I've spent 75 credits on 3 psychic familiars. Like, he's untouchable.
Yeah, right.
So, we've talked about some of the games that you've done so far. And, you know, if someone just happened to be on secondbestguides.com right now, we'd see that you've done so far Ogryns, Gene Stealer Cults, the Ash Waste Nomads, and Enforcers.
Shout out to Shorty for the Enforcers one.
Yes, shout out to Shorty. Where were you before last year's Arkham Under? You could have helped me win games and not just be a 12-time
To be fair
winner.
To him, it was out
it
there.
It is not 12
It was out there.
Okay, but
was it?
Yeah.
Useless.
Shorty's been doing Enforcer guides for longer than you think, because he's... it seems to be a big Enforcers guy. So when I first put out the I'm doing this, does anyone want to help me, he messaged me and went, hi, I've got this Enforcers guide that I've been doing, could I put that up there? And he went, absolutely, let me read through it. And then the pair of us, basically life just got in the way completely. And when I was doing my Gene Stealer cult list, he was like, right, I'm back. Sorry, I've been gone for so long. Do you want me to put this Enforcer's Guide up? And I was just like, yes, do it.
Yes.
So that's why we went from like quite a while since one guide to two out in the same week. And it was nice to not have to write one, I'll be honest. And it's lovely. It's really good. Like, I've got Enforcers. I've tried them and really struggled with it. And using his guide, I kind of went, oh, I get it now. Which is how I hope people look at mine as well.
Shorty, you've let me down. You've let the podcast down. You should have been... I should have had this in my hand before the last Arkham Under. And when I decide a week before the next one what gang I'm doing, I will be calling you very angry. I'm going to make sure you're in bed.
When is Arkham Under?
November.
Right, I've got a bit
November,
of time.
Yeah, then. It was November.
Yeah.
Hey.
Oh no! You say that I did my lawkeepers in like what 8 days or something. but so you have so far on the website here that you're going to be doing the squats, the helot cults, corpse grinder cults, venators, and I'm guessing the last one you're doing there is outcasts.
Yeah.
Because that is going to be a book.
I think that's going to be my thesis for my PhD. yeah, I'm not looking forward to that one. So. Currently in the works, there is the formings of a squat guide and a partially playtested helot cult guide.
Oh, cool.
Because
helot cults, I think, are going to be
they're so funny.
Yeah.
So, actually,
I'll jump on that.
I was doing helot cults at the same time as Gene Stealers, and I wasn't sure which one I was going to focus on to do it, and then... Spamuel bullied me into doing the Gene Stealer cult, so I did it.
I negatively motivated.
So I was just like, right, fine, I'll finish that one. And that, and as I said, Stuart from our gaming club was playing them and struggling a bit with it. So him and I, you know, talked quite a lot about, you know, what we could do, what we'd do differently. And I was like, well, if I've got that resource in front of me, I'm going to take it. And used that to finish it off. So yeah, squats. I've got some opinions on squats.
Bastards.
I've got a wonderful quote about squats that I'm not sure if I should share or not. So squats might.
Oh, I think I want to hear it.
Squats might just be the most boring gang in Necromunda.
Who's that from?
I'm not at liberty to discuss who that's from. But yeah, basically, and it was put, I was just like, whoa, what's going on? And I discussed it with the person in question, and it's the campaign progression. They have an incredibly small house list, and like there's just not a lot of ways to play outside of squats go you know.
Yeah, righto. Yeah.
So we had a little discussion about what could be done differently, and we were discussing creating a Slayer.
Oh, that's cool.
A Squat Slayer.
That's absolutely awesome.
Out of the equipment and things that you already get. So Stubborn skill with a pair of power axes or whatever melee weapon you want to go for. No armor, because don't be a wuss. and then like the power,
correct.
Yeah, the power pack weapons, so you get like absolute blender of an output, but it's got to get there, and it's slow.
Yeah, right.
So,
and then have tattoos,
and then obviously have tattoos and a mohawk.
Yes.
But you
I'm
know,
loving this. That's a cool idea.
It is a cool idea.
Smell faintly of iron brew and haggis.
Oh, that was my stag day. It was amazing. yeah. So, but I want to be able to. I think the squat guide will be fairly easy. Like squats are one of those gangs that are actually solved because of the lack of option in there. Like, we know what squats do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at auto guns on gangers and bolt guns on champions, and you could basically go home after that. But...
And your beer thrown onto your opponent.
Yeah.
Because they've just perma-killed every single member of your gang in round two.
Yeah. so once we've solved the, you know, what your starting list should be, I then need to look at how do we make it fun? Because, again, there's references throughout the guides of going, you could do this. Some people don't like it when you do that. So here's an alternative.
Yeah.
Yeah, righto. So, it's about providing a balance to the game as well, not just about how well can you kill everything and upset your opponent.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, no, I totally understand. Yeah, cool. So I guess you've covered off a lot for second best guides, but I'll give you the option to have your closing thoughts here for us. What are you? Any last little dregs of information wanting to pour out of your head?
Well, I mean, it would be no point going on someone else's podcast if you don't plug yourself. So please do come to secondbestguides.com and take a look at my guides. And if you do fancy supporting us, we've gone for Ko-Fi. So that's ko-fi.com/secondbestguides. And you can either buy us a brew or a beer, or you can even sign up. And we are looking towards doing something for people who sign up to the monthly Ko-Fi. There will be, like, once we start getting people in, I'm definitely going to do, like, here's my working document, which some people have seen on Discords and Facebook, because I do like people to critique it. But here's access to my guides, the working documents as I go through them, but then you have to decipher my insanity. but we're also looking at, I say, my friend Ruby, who's playing squats, she's trying out 3D modelling and is wanting to make things like sump skiffs and boats and things like that. So we'll be posting them up in the future for people to have a look at and play with the Warhammer community rules or the community-based rules that are out there for some
sick
stuff. Yeah. And
that's awesome. Like,
I want to build a community of people who want to do Necromunda. And so if people come in and join and help us facilitate that, help pay for the website, I want to do more community stuff. Like, in the past, I've helped Steve from Sub City Radios format some of his scenario ideas, like the Murder Brawl scenario.
Oh, yeah.
I think that came out of the head of Steve and Dan, and then I wrote it up and codified it based on SumpCon. And then from there, between us, we wrote Murder Brawl 2, which has got mounts in it with like dirt bikes, and we're looking into doing a demolition derby at some point as well.
Oh wow, that sounds freaking awesome.
Yeah, so like I want to do more community-based stuff. Like, the Sump City Discord is fantastic for community. You guys have been superb for getting the lore out there and getting in touch with people. The Guildas Ford Radio lot are just pumping out content left, right, and centre for the community to play with. So I want to do more stuff like that. I want Necromunda to be a community-driven game. Because although I don't think Games Workshop are going to drop it anytime soon, I don't care if they do anymore, because the community is so good and so keen that we're just going to do it ourselves anyway.
No, I 100% agree with you. I think Necromunda is coming to a point where we've got so many different people in the community, which is, you know, what this whole series we want to do. What me and Nathan were saying, we're going to call it the Vox Populi. Oh. You know, it's the voice of the people, because that's what Necromunda is becoming to us. It's not just the official stuff and models and, you know, the official lore. It's this stuff that other people are coming up with. And this, I think, Second Best Guides is, personally, the best place for this series of ours to start, because you've literally immediately identified something that people, and please, if people disagree with me, shoot me an email, whatever. But I personally think this is a niche that people need.
Yeah.
That, you know, people want to play non-house gangs, and you're giving them the information in black and white, tried and tested and constantly updated. And it's instead of, like, the number of different Nomad guides I found were things like, yep, just use lots of bugs or use the Stormcaller. It's like, that's not a guide, man. You've told me nothing. And, you know, you sort of, I could put together a gang and play it and then just be like, man, I've really buggered up my start here. But you've played the Nomads, you've run them through campaigns, you and your mates are playing them in campaigns, and yeah, the community is bringing everything together and evolving this game that we all love straight away.
And I can't stress this enough. I can't stress this enough. If people disagree, if people have got a better idea or any opinions, tell me. Oh, please do, because I love feedback, and some of the feedback I've had hasn't been massively useful, but, like, I just, yeah, give me feedback, tell me what works, go, actually, I completely disagree, Venom casters are great, yeah, they are, who knew, not me, I didn't know, until I was told I should give them a try, and I was pleasantly surprised to find out that they are incredibly fun. I still think webguns on paper are better, but it depends what you're looking for in the campaign. If you don't want to, hamper your opponent, yeah, web guns all day. But if you want to genuinely scare people, Venomcaster. Oh, Venomcaster. So yeah, no, people, give me feedback. You can do it on the website. You can do it on Facebook. You can do it on Discords, wherever. Like, go onto Ko-Fi. And shoot me a message through there if you really want. Like, I will take any criticism, any feedback going. And also, you said Vox Populi. The Mercator,
yeah, buddy.
The Mercator Populi. The Guild of the People.
Guild of the People. Ooh. I love it.
Ooh. Guild of the People. Did I just get spam your corrected?
On the name of the episode.
I was also thinking...
On the name of the episode.
Vox Populi is used a lot. Mercator Populi won't be used at all.
Yes. No, I love it. Mercator Populi.
Done.
Absolutely.
So, I'm just going to edit it out. So I'll be like, cut here. You know what? A better name for this is Mercator Populi.
Oh, that's a really good name. Yeah, man.
Yeah. It's original too, man. Yeah, but no, the links for Second Best Guides and your Ko-Fi will obviously be in the show notes here, and you've plugged yourself. Anyone you want to give some shout-outs to?
Yes, I do want to. Manoir from Goonhammer has been really supportive of me doing the writing. I'm not a writer. He is. So he's helped me out quite a bit, just... you know, helping me get over there. Andrew, who hopefully, you know, will be more part of the community in the future. He's my main playtester and, like, the reason I got into Necromunda. The larger gaming group that we've set up, which is Special Operations in Lancaster. Thank you guys for just being a great... just a great support. And then obviously the wife who lets me play toy soldiers rather than looking after the kids. So I think if I didn't thank her, she'd, you know, string me up a little bit.
Shout out to all of our wives who allow us to play toy soldiers instead of looking after our children.
And then finally, last but by no means least, the Sump City community. Because without them, it wouldn't have got off the ground in the first place. Like, it really wouldn't. So, yeah, and Shorty for sorting out the website. It's currently looking a little bit better than it used to. He understands website design much better than I do, and he's hoping to give it an overhaul at some point in the future. So, yeah, just everyone who's helped, who's been supportive, it's been so much fun, and I can't wait to keep doing it.
Hell yes. Well,
yeah, keep it up. Yeah.
Yeah, mate. Like I said, I'm if people want a testimonial on this, I've said this a couple of times on a couple of different episodes about Second Best Guides, where it just makes things, it's in black and white. It breaks it down for even me, the lowest common denominator of so many different ways. It's just, you know, using the Nomads as an example, here's your weapons. This costs this. I like it. I don't like it. Use it instead of this. Use it for this. Like, it just lays it out. If I can write decent gang lists after reading this, anyone can. So, yeah, this Second Best Guides 2, overwhelmingly enthusiastic thumbs up from me.
Written for the lowest common denominator by the lowest common denominator. Okay.
Well,
love it.
On that note there, before we do let you go, this is a question we sort of... I want to know from a personal level. Of all of the episodes we've done, do you have a favourite from Underhive Lawkeepers?
The April the 1st Abhuman episode is by far my favourite episode that you guys have ever done. I listened to the entirety of it.
Yes.
No word of a lie. I figured out what was going on. I'm like, they're going to do something at some point. I'm going to listen to it. And I listened to it on 1.5 speed until it kicked in again right at the end. And I am...
You were the first person to message me, be like, sneaky bastard.
Yeah, yep. I was overjoyed with that stunt. I thought it was beautiful. I was online going, oh, do you know what? That was probably the best episode they've done. I didn't know that about the Lizardmen. And just getting people be like, it didn't work for me. It didn't work. I'm like, you dummy dum-dums, come on.
Yes.
Yes, oh, absolutely.
Being part of the
I'm
problem
so happy
was,
you liked that episode. Yes, yes. It feels fun, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Stirring chaos up, and people just going, what are you up to? Why is this not working? Just, enjoy it. Get to the end, trust me.
People
are
still messaging me. Like, hey, man, this episode isn't working. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, listen to the next one.
Can you rename it?
This one isn't working. Yeah, I should.
Rename it to the April Fool's episode.
Yeah, we've actually talked about that. We've said, because now that it's getting further away from the 1st of April, we probably should rename it.
Is it funnier or less funnier?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Imagine you're in December and you're like, oh, yeah, cool. I've got another episode to listen to. You're like, what's happening here? You know, I don't know. We probably will end up renaming it, I'd say. But
like that email from, was it Daniel who emailed us telling me he was disappointed? I was like, Every now and then, I'm scrolling through our podcast email, and I look at that, and I'm just like, oh, I've really got to reply to that guy and apologize. Like, I'm like, no, screw him. He made me feel feelings. But Okay, so I'm not even going to ask you what episode you're looking forward to us doing. I'm going to throw it out there. I'm going to say it's the Ogryn episode.
Yeah, since day one, I've been asking for that Ogryn episode, so...
Yeah. So, okay.
It'll last get there. It's just a slow moving.
Yeah, don't rush it.
But the last question from me. What is an episode you would like us to do that you don't necessarily think we're going to do?
Ooh. Do you know what? That's a really hard question. Probably the Vansar one.
I love it. You're right, too. We're not going to do it.
Can I take this opportunity to say, Nath, that is possibly the most beautiful masterstroke of a joke I've ever seen, like, pulled off. I had to pull over on my drive into work because I was giggling so hard, like, I wasn't sure I should be driving.
I'm genuinely angry that, like, at first I was like, oh, okay, and I had to pause, and I said to him, like, he's like, I've spent all week doing this. He goes, don't care. Doing Delacroix now.
If you want to email me the link, I'll make sure he doesn't get it, but I do want to read it.
I've got to keep it under wraps just in case it does get out there.
Yeah.
You know, somebody might just do a one episode podcast just to do the Vansar episode.
Next time he's sick, do it on your own.
Yeah. Put myself to sleep.
Don't. Oh.
In fact, next time he's sick, ring me. We'll do it.
Yes. That's it. You and I will do it. That'll be fantastic. And we can just talk about Ogryns for, you know, 2, 3, 4 hours, and maybe just like a handful of Vansar words, and that'll be it. Yeah,
there are Ogryns in the Dayglow Dragons, and that's the Vansar episode done. You two would. I hate my friends. Well, on that incredibly disheartening note, I actually have a quote for the episode, which is great. But before we go to the quote, Simon, the two shadowy conspirators behind you. That one is literally eating drywall off your wall. You're going to have to get that patched, mate. Mate, thank you so much for coming on to the first episode of our series, Mercator Populi. It's been absolutely awesome. We cannot wait to see where Second Best Guides goes. Yeah, I see nothing but big things, and thank you.
Thanks for having me.
I'm not used to talking to people who aren't Nathan.
It has been a little bit weird, hasn't it? Yeah. Not on your head. No. It's okay. I'll just reiterate what Sam's saying there. Yeah, it's been an awesome conversation. I've really enjoyed this, and I'm super excited as well as Sam to see what happens with Second Best Guides. I've done a little bit of reading in it. None of the gangs I'm using at the moment, but my God, the depth of knowledge that you get from it is just phenomenal. So, yeah, onward and upwards.
Yeah, it's to open.
Well, I did promise you a quote, and it's actually a quote that is being made entirely in your honour. And the quote is as such. Brute force not work? It because you not use enough of it. And that is Karg, Ogryn Bonehead of the Imperial Guard or Astra Militarum. And that was our latest episode of the Underhive Lawkeepers podcast. I am Spamiel, and on behalf of the Lawkeeper team, thank you for listening. Please follow us on our social media pages available in the show notes, and don't forget to follow and review us on your preferred podcast platform. As always, if you have questions, complaints, corrections, or if you too are interested in joining the Abhuman Underground Railroad, please reach out to us at underhivelawkeepers@gmail.com. Thanks.